Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Texarkana is a twin city. We have roughly half the city is in Texas and half the city is in Arkansas. And it's a beautiful Tuesday morning in Texarkana, Texas. We tend not to lack for heat in June and getting ready to enter into July in East Texas. And we do have crazy weather here. And my co-host today is Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Schroeder got his doctorate just a couple of months ago in pastoral counseling, focusing in on marriage. He does a lot of counseling at our church, marriage and family counseling. And Chris, you grew up in California. The weather's a little different here than in California, isn't it?
It is different. I mean, California can get hot, but not as humid as it is here, and not as much rain as we get here.
Right. So. Yeah, it never rains in California.
Never.
According to the song.
Right.
I grew up in California. I was born in West Covina, California, and we moved from the Los Angeles area when I was in first grade to Los Altos, California, which is fairly close to Stanford University. And then from there, we moved when I was in seventh grade to Houston, Texas. We moved in August to Houston, Texas in the 70s. And we got off the airplane, and that was back in the day where you got off the airplane, you were outside, and you had to walk inside the airport. And my brother said, I think we've landed in God's armpit. That we had never been in humidity before, and it was rough.
So we started the trend of moving from California to Texas.
Yes, started the trend. So, well, today on the broadcast, we want to talk about the grace of God, family problems, and the grace of God. You know, when it comes to problems, you've got them, I've got them, we've got them, Adam had them. Everybody has problems in life, and God has grace to help us in our time of need because we are just a bundle of needs. And the scripture says this about the Lord Jesus, John chapter 1. John, such a great gospel. Typically, you'll have people, when you say, you know, you're exploring Jesus or trying to decide, you know, who is Jesus, we tell them to go to the Gospel of John, because John, different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he really focuses in on the deity of Christ. And he starts off by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you ever have somebody tell you Jesus Christ is not God, take them to John chapter 1. He was in, as it says, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And you ask yourself, well, who's he talking about? Who is the Word? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That phrase is so important. Who is the Lord? Well, he is the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his nature. And God is the God who is full of grace and truth. Both those things are critical as it relates to the nature of God. And as I said, as I finished up a marriage and family series last Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana, we need to follow in that path as we deal with people, as we deal in marriage and family, where we have both grace and truth in dealing with people. Now, Chris, in your experiences in counseling, maybe counseling couples or counseling families, how important is that balance between grace and truth?
It's so important, and it's so difficult to walk that balance. I mean, Jesus is the one who walked that balance so perfectly, and he fulfilled truth with grace. But it is difficult for us as humans to walk that balance, and it seems like people either err on one side or the other just by their natural, you know, their personality, their tendency. Some people tend to be more on the truth side, more dogmatic, you know, fundamental, black and white, mm-hmm. absolute truth. And then some people tend to err on the grace side without any, you know, with not any truth, but not as much truth,
right,
and more on the free path side, letting things go, more gray than black and white. And so I feel like every person tends to lean to one way or the other. But Jesus walked that perfect line of grace and truth. It's got to be that perfect mixture.
Right. Well, I had it explained to me years ago this way. So the Christian life is a walk on the narrow road, the narrow road that leads to life. The broad road leads to destruction and hell. The narrow road leads to life. We get on the narrow road when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Well, now on the narrow road, that's the balance between grace and truth. But there are ditches on either side. And so the ditch on the right is truth without much grace, and that is legalism. And it's easy for us to fall into the ditch of legalism, and then life becomes, our relationship with God becomes all rules, and that's kind of how we treat other people. It's based on if you toe the line, we're good. If you don't, we're not. And so you fall into the ditch of legalism, very easy to do. On the other side of the narrow road, that's the balance between grace and truth, is license. And that is all grace with very little truth. And that is, if you think of license, that's kind of like having a license to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, is the question in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And Paul answers that question and says, God forbid, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so, Chris, when we walk that road, why is that difficult to stay on the narrow road and not to fall into either one of those camps?
Yeah, and I think we all struggle with that. I mean, I think that's part of the Christian life, is trying to walk that narrow road and not falling to one extreme or the other. I like what one of our favorite authors, Tim Kimmel, says. He says, legalism insults grace. License cheapens grace.
Right.
And so we don't want either of those. We want to walk in that narrow, center road. But I don't know. It's really challenging. It's really difficult. And again, we all can relate to falling into one ditch or the other at different times in our life. You know, we become really religious, high on ourselves, judgmental, when we get on that legalistic side.
Right.
And then we can become not looking at the truth at all, or ignoring the truth, when we get on that licensure side.
Right. Well, I think that I made this statement Sunday. I think people in church, they tend probably more often to fall into the legalistic side.
Okay.
Life is kind of, we have the Ten Commandments, and we kind of think in terms of rules, and we run into all kinds of commandments, not just in the Old Testament. I mean, the New Testament has commandments too. And then we can beat ourselves up when we fall and blow it. And, there's Romans 8:1 is a key
verse.
That's
what I was thinking of, Romans 8. Yeah.
Yeah. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, if you fall into the ditch in your Christian life, if you fall in the ditch of legalism, the book of Galatians is all about
grace.
You're not under law, you're under grace. Quit living like you have to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses in order to be right with God. But if you fall into that ditch of legalism, isn't it true, Chris, that Christians that do that really have a hard time walking with God, and they feel condemned? They feel like, I'm such a bum, a scum, a loser. It's hard to enjoy the Christian life when you're in the ditch of legalism.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he wants us to walk in freedom. He does want us to walk in freedom. And I always think of that balance between, like, say, you said Galatians, even Romans, a lot about grace.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the balance between, if I ever do a lot of teaching on Romans, then I'll want to do some James, put some James
right
in there as well. But there's that balance, so back and forth between the two. But yeah, I think you're probably right. People in the church maybe lean more towards the legalistic side. Maybe they've been in the church for a long time, and it's easy for us to separate ourselves from the world and then start looking at the world and judging the world, from a high tower that we think that we're in.
Right. I was reminded of something I heard John MacArthur say. It's really interesting how this works, grace and truth, because mm-hmm. It's like, how is the Lord full of both of those at the same time? And the Bible clearly says that the Lord establishes his kingdom on truth. Psalm 89:14, your kingdom is built on truth and justice. And if we don't have truth, we don't have anything. It's like building your house on Jell-O. It's just, there's nothing solid. So in order to have a stable life, you have to build it on the truth of who Jesus is. So grace and truth always go together for salvation, for sanctification, for anything that is going to be lasting in the Lord. If it's not built on truth, it's wood, hay, and straw. It's just going to burn up. And so we need both of those things, and they fit together. Although they're both different, they're connected, and you can't separate those in the Lord. I was thinking about this. So John MacArthur has this thing that he says when he does these Q&As. He said, well, just think about your Christian life. Who lives your Christian life? Do you live it, or does the Lord live it? And if you say, well, I live it, and so like, oh, you're living the Christian life? You're doing that?
Right.
Well, no, then that's not the right answer. Well, the Lord lives it. Oh, so the Lord is the one that is failing and faltering in your Christian life? And the answer is you live it yielded to the Lord.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting when you think about that, because it's hard, when you drill down, it's hard to answer that question. Here's another question he asked. Who wrote the book of Romans? Mm. You say, well, Paul wrote the book of Romans.
Right.
Oh, Paul wrote it, or was it inspired by the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Well, no, Paul didn't write it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. Oh, the Holy Spirit wrote it, and so Paul didn't write it? You know, and so there's kind of a paradox in the Bible, because so much of basic things are hard to answer, because the truth is the Holy Spirit wrote the book of Romans through Paul.
Yeah.
And he didn't bypass his personality or his idiosyncrasies or his writing style or anything like that, but it's men moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. I think that might be a good way to understand grace and truth. They're just melded together, and in the Lord, it's not one or the other. It's both together.
It's good theology is both and. It's not, you don't want to be on one extreme or the other, but a good mix of both. I heard a preacher use the analogy of he likes when he's having a good steak dinner, and he has steak with mashed potatoes. And at the end, you know, when there's not as much mashed potatoes left, or getting to the end of the steak, he takes a piece of the steak and he, you know, puts it into the mashed potatoes,
right.
Mix it in the mashed potatoes, and
right.
Has this unbelievable taste.
Right.
You know, but it's that perfect mixture of the two, grace and truth. And that's good theology throughout the scriptures, is both grace and truth. Just like we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament, we have the balance. And we need both.
Right. I heard Babbie Mason, the singer who became a friend of mine, she's been to our church several times. She said, she describes grace and truth this way. She says, it's kind of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
She said, you know, if you eat just a peanut butter sandwich, it can be a little dry.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat just a jelly sandwich, you're not getting a lot of protein and nutrients.
Yeah.
But you put them together, and their sweetness and their substance, and they fit together, and it makes for a great sandwich. That's kind of a fun way, but it's an important way to see how grace and truth fit together.
You're talking about people in the church. Don't you also think that preachers or different ministries would err on one side or the other, or be more extreme to one side or the other? And
right.
Can you pick that out pretty quick if a preacher is going to one side or the other?
Yeah, and I have to watch that for myself, because you were talking about black and white people versus gray people.
Right.
Well, I'm not a very gray person.
Mm-hmm.
I see things as either right or wrong. And so, and as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And so love is rooted in truth. Anything that's not true, God is not shining his favor upon that. But the Lord is gracious, so the woman caught in adultery, she's obviously wrong, but the Lord doesn't beat her up with truth. She recognizes, no doubt, I'm wrong, I deserve to be stoned according to the law of Moses, but the Lord doesn't stone her. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, Jesus could have stoned her,
right?
But he didn't. He had grace for her. And did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined in the studio by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, who is the teaching pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking about grace and truth to help us live the Christian life on the narrow road with the Lord. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, advancing through the scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word. Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
The Practice of the Presence of God is a classic little book that encourages living moment by moment in the Lord's presence. This is Jim Garlow. Its author was a humble monk named Brother Lawrence. He served the Lord by washing dishes in a monastery during the 16th century. Brother Lawrence said, "All we have to do is to recognize God as being intimately present within us. Then we may speak directly to Him every time we need to ask for help, to know His will in moments of uncertainty, and to do whatever He wants for us to do in a way that pleases Him. This continuous conversation would also include praising and loving God incessantly for His infinite goodness and perfection." Those words by Brother Lawrence are a reminder that Jesus is the very essence of God, and He longs to spend time with us every day. There's more at wellversedworld.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the grace of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus was full of grace and truth. It goes on to say, "Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." Grace is so important in the Christian life. Listen, the old covenant was a covenant of law. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. So much better the new covenant versus the old covenant. The covenant of law was given to show men that they were sinners and they needed a Savior. The covenant of grace is what we live in and walk in. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We stand by grace. God sits on a throne of grace to help us in our time of need. Somebody has said, "What is grace?" It's the unmerited favor of God. It's the God's love in action, His loving kindness mixed together. You don't deserve grace. I don't deserve grace. We don't deserve grace. We deserve the judgment of God. But He is a God full of grace and truth, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Chris, let's talk a little bit about the concept of grace for believers. We were sharing at the break, we desperately need grace. We want grace. When we blow it, God is a God of grace. That's so wonderful. But sometimes we don't treat others with grace. We see others doing terrible things and we say, God needs to, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven to destroy the Samaritans? Why is there a disconnect sometimes in that?
Yeah, such a good point. It's so easy for us to become judgmental of others, to see the speck in someone else's eye when we've got a plank in our own eye, you know? So we love talking about grace for ourselves and the way that we need grace, but yeah, it's so easy to get in a judgmental spirit and not see that others need grace as well. We can become so legalistic. We can become so high on ourselves, so high and mighty with ourselves. And, you know, especially if we've been in the church for a long time and we've been separated from things of the world for a while, that spirit can creep into us so easily.
Yeah, the spirit of a Pharisee. It's a, you know, when you study the Pharisees, they didn't start out as a rotten group. They started out, and they were the separated ones, and they said, hey, we want to live for God. They started out with a good heart, but they got corrupted along the way with legalism. And Jesus, the harshest things Jesus ever said were to the religious leaders. It wasn't to the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the sinners. Those people knew that they were sinners. And, you know, that's 90% of the battle, understanding I'm a sinner and I am in desperate need of God's mercy and forgiveness.
Those Pharisees and people with a pharisaical spirit can do so much damage to someone. And, you know, people sometimes outside of the church talk about how they've been hurt by people inside the church. And sometimes by judge, you know, sometimes that's just an excuse. Sometimes they're just using that. But sometimes truly people have been hurt by people in the church who have judged them harshly and not with any kind of grace at all.
Right. Well, we definitely don't want to do that. You know, if we're going to win people to Christ, we need to interact with people as Jesus did. I mean, he is, we walk in his steps, as the book by Sheldon said, and we can't do that without abiding in him, without his power flowing through us. But so if we're going to be connected to Jesus, we're going to be in balance between grace and truth. You know, people today, as we said, they fall kind of in either one of those. So heavy truth, little grace, or heavy grace, little truth. Let's talk about the danger of if you fall into the ditch of license and you're heavy grace, little truth. What does that produce, Chris, when we talk about marriage, family especially? If you're a parent that's heavy on the grace, light on the truth, how does that damage a kid?
Yeah, they say relationship without rules leads to resentment. And so children naturally want to have structure in their life. You know, even I've talked to student pastors all the time that, you know, middle school students who are kind of difficult sometimes to work with, they really do want structure. They're not going to tell you, I would like some rules, I would like some structure. But truly, they do want some boundaries. They want some structure. And there's actually freedom when you have boundaries, when you have rules, when you know what you're supposed to do and what you're being asked to do. That actually brings a kind of freedom. And when you don't have that, and when you're raised in a way without any kind of structure, that leads to resentment in the long run. That leads to adults that have resentment because they never had boundaries. Because boundaries and structure is a way to show love. It's actually a way of love.
Yeah, I heard somebody, I read this in a book that said a lady that was an adult, but she was raised by very permissive parents. She said, well, they didn't ever put a curfew on me. They didn't ever really put any bounds on me at all. And just kind of showed me that they didn't really care about me.
Right. Tough love at all. You know, there might, you know, it's kind of like that. I think Dobson talked about tender love, but not tough love. You know, tough love is difficult, but that really is a full extent of love.
Right. I think about like with my kids. So if you have a backyard with a fence, that tells your kids, hey, any place back here you can play, it's safe for you. And they would feel safe. There's not going to be some dog coming into the backyard because it's all enclosed. And that is a sense of security for a child, as opposed to, hey, go back there, everything's wide open and, you know, the wild animals could come in or whatever. Well, they're not going to feel safe in that.
Yeah, we in our yard, we have a fence and we have some really pretty ravenous dogs that live next to us that are always constantly barking, and they look like they could do some damage. And it's like that fence is actually protecting our children. That reminds me of the garden, you know, where God gave freedom. He just said, don't eat from that one tree, but they had a lot of freedom, but that boundary was for their own good.
Right. So we talked Sunday, I'd finished a series called The Divine Design, God's Plan for Marriage and Family, and the last message in the series was about grace and truth, and I called it Family Problems and the Grace of God. And so it was designed to encourage couples and families and grandparents. And the first point in the message, Chris, as you remember, was everybody's got problems.
Right.
It's real easy in the church to think you're the only one struggling with sin. You're the only one that has marriage problems. You're the only one that has family problems. You see everybody smiling and acting like everything's great at church, but we don't live at church.
Right.
We live at home, and everybody faces difficulties and problems and challenges and trials and temptations. There's just no getting away from it. I don't care how strong a Christian you are, you're going to face that.
Yeah, how you doing this morning? I'm doing great. Yeah, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And you just had a fight with your spouse on the way to church. You know, that's reality. Yeah, you're right. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, John 16:33. But then he said, but take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Right.
But he doesn't tell us we're going to have a smooth, easy life. He tells us that in this life, we will have trouble. We will have tribulation. And even in the family, you know, a place where you're wanting unconditional love, a place that is meant to be safe and, you know, that's your parents, that's your siblings. But there is strife, there is struggles just because we are human, because we are sinners. So every family is dysfunctional to some extent. We talk about dysfunctional families. Every family has dysfunction.
Right. Because everybody, I mean, I'm a sinner. I married a sinner. We had three daughters. They're three little sinners. Mm-hmm. So you're going to deal with difficulty in the family.
What was your Votibacom, the viper?
Who is that viper in a diaper? Yeah. You know, he had mentioned that Votibacom because he's like, yeah, in sin my mother conceived me, as David said in Psalm 51. I was brought forth in iniquity. We have a grandson who's getting ready to turn 1 year, our first boy in the family, and we love little Jack to death, but little Jack's a sinner, mm-hmm. and he needs a savior, and that's just the way it is with every child that comes into this world. I think that one of the things that we can lose sight of is that, you know, we get this unrealistic expectation of what the Christian life is supposed to be.
Right.
That it's the end of my problems and everything's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
That's just not true. And so I mentioned Sunday about the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9, when he gets saved, right at the outset, the Lord told Ananias, go and pray for Paul. He didn't want to go because he's like, Paul's a bad guy. Oh, he's Saul at that time. He's a bad guy. He goes, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine, for I must show him how much he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Paul was told early on, hey, the Christian life is going to be difficult. It's not going to be a bed of roses. You're going to suffer for my name's sake.
And he did. Wow.
Yeah, he suffered terribly. And he told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, we tell our church that, hey, the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground, and you have an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and we need to gear up knowing that mama told me there'd be days like this. I mean, it's going to be tough, but that's okay, because the Lord says, John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world, and I will help you through. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And the Lord will never leave us and never forsake us. So, Chris, as we kind of look at home life, marriage and family life, how can we employ grace and truth? What does that look like in the home?
I mean, taking every decision, you know, each situation with your children, I'd say take each situation one by one. There has to be discipline. You know, when a child is out of line, when a child needs to learn, there has to be discipline. I don't like the word punishment. I don't even like that word punishment, because I like the word discipline.
I think
God disciplines us, you know, but it's for our own growth. It's for our own sanctification. Mm-hmm. And so our children have to have discipline, and our children have to have grace. You know, personally, I'd be the one that, especially with daughters, I'd be the one that,
right.
I mean, I hope they're not listening, but I would be the one that would fall on the grace side,
right.
You know, so it's hard, but I know that they need it. They need that discipline. So whether that be a spanking, whether that be a timeout, whether that be taking something away from them, that's probably the most powerful thing when you take one of their devices away for a period of time.
Right.
But they have to have that discipline. And so parents, you know, like you always talk about in your messages, parenting is not for cowards.
Right.
Parenting is not easy. And we can so easily get lazy in our parenting because we have so many, and we could get distracted.
Right.
Because we have so much going on. And dads, you get home from work and it's not time to just check out.
Right.
Or a few minutes, check out.
Right.
But get back in the game. Your kids need you. Your wife needs you.
Exactly.
And so be active in your kids' life. I'm seeing so many dads that are just in our society that are just passive, just non-existent.
Well, and I think for dads, I know that I struggle with this. You know, your iPad, your smartphone can just draw you like a magnet, whether it's
ESPN.
Playing. Yeah, sports, games on the computer, games on your TV, games on your iPad and your cell phone, social media, Twitter. I know Twitter is one of those things that you can always just look stuff up. Who says this about whatever? You know, it's a lot of news and opinions on Twitter. Facebook watch, where it's just one clip after another of movies or sports or golf instruction.
And where'd 30 minutes go?
It's gone. It's just boom. It's just gone. And I think I heard John Piper say this. He said, you know, for those who say they don't have enough time to read the Bible and pray, he said, I think God has given us Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that to show us, see, you did have the time. You just weren't interested in doing that. And, you know, it's amen or oh me. I mean, that's like, ouch. But that's really true.
Yeah.
And so it takes discipline to live the Christian life. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It takes discipline to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good mom, to be a good dad, and to treat our kids. I said this in the message Sunday. Treat your spouse and treat your kids the way you want God to treat you. Hey, when you and I blow it in our Christian lives, we don't want God to beat us up with truth. We know we've messed up. We need God to be gracious to us.
That gentle correction,
right?
To get us back on track to where we should be. And that's what he does, like those sheep that have wandered.
Right.
You know, we need the shepherd just to kind of get us back into the fold.
Now, the argument for grace-based parenting and grace-based living, grace and truth, the argument is, well, then that would be a license to sin. And so if I'm not coming down hard on my kids, then they'll think, well, it's no big deal. I can just keep doing this and keep doing this. It's kind of like one wife had a husband that was, this was years ago in our Sunday school class. He kept being unfaithful to her. And she said, well, I'm commanded by God to forgive. I said, yes, you are. But if you just keep letting him know that, you know, no matter what you do, I'll just keep taking you back, you're not helping him. I mean, when he's tempted, he's just going to keep saying, well, it'll just be like always. I can just mess around and then come back and she forgives me. How would a wife need to balance that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. She's not helping him. I mean, that may seem like she's helping him, but she's not. And he's falling into the ditch over and over again. And, and you know, that saying, teach someone how to treat you. She's not teaching him. And she's allowing him to get away with things that's not helping him in any way. You know, a boundary, when you set a boundary, it's not for the other person. It's really for yourself. And so the best way to motivate someone to change, you can't change anybody. You can motivate someone to change. And the best way you can motivate someone to change is with consequences.
Yes.
And that's what boundaries do, is it sets consequences. And, you know, with children, with your spouse. And sometimes it's hard to think about a good boundary, like to have suggestions for boundaries. And so you've got to be creative. But those will bring consequences, which bring motivation.
You know, here's a great verse, Psalm 130. It says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. God's forgiveness is to draw us into a relationship with him where we fear him, where we honor him once again. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. We're talking about grace and truth. Today on the broadcast, I'm joined with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We'll be taking your calls in the next segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. Maybe you have a question about the balance between grace and truth. We'd love to help you with that. 888-589-8840. Don't go away. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is changing hearts and lives.
It speaks directly to the power and the grace of God.
It gives me hope for people that I know that are struggling.
The whole idea of In His image has moved me.
We actually had one gentleman contact us, and he said that this film changed his mind about this issue. We had a pastor reach out to us, and he said that he'd been struggling with hatred in his heart towards people in the LGBTQ community, and this film helped him to realize he needed to have compassion and show people the love of Christ. We also had this same-sex attracted couple contact us, and they said after seeing the film, they wanted to live obedient lives for Christ no matter what, and they said, please pray for us. We know this is going to be hard. We've even had people come to faith in Jesus through In His Image.
To find out more, visit inhisimage.movie.
AFA Foundation Director Riley Wildman.
A charitable gift annuity is perfect for AFA supporters with an eternal perspective like Lucy Overstreet.
Psalm 78 tells us that we are to tell our children and our grandchildren and the future generations after them what the Lord has done in our lives and what the Word of God says.
Lucy's charitable gift annuity will keep supporting this ministry for generations.
I wanted something that would have eternal value, and that's the way I think of the American Family Association investment.
Contact Riley Wildman and her staff at the AFA Foundation and find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website, afafoundation.net.
My life is not about me, it's about Him.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. To find out more, you can go to fromhisheart.org. And I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter, at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Well, we are talking in the studio, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I, about grace and truth. The Bible says of Jesus, He was full of grace and truth, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. It's grace and truth that saves us. Without truth, you can't be set free. Without truth, grace has no peg to hang its hat, so to speak. Truth is kind of the bones, and grace is the flesh, and together they produce salvation. But the challenge for every Christian is to walk on the narrow road, which is grace and truth, and the balance between the two. Well, we're taking your calls in this segment, 888-589-8840. And we have Dusty on the line from Texas. Dusty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Pastor Jeff, what I have here is a question between me and my wife. My wife was raised more in truth, and I was raised more in grace without boundaries, you might say. And we were trying to figure out how to balance our marriage out with the two being opposite as they are, as you and Dr. Chris were talking about.
Yes, very good, Dusty. It's great to hear from you. That's my friend Dusty. He's a member of our church and a very wonderful guy. Okay, so Chris, what would you say to that question?
Okay, so opposites attract. So that's really normal to have a spouse that looks at things different than you because they were raised differently. And that's just the challenge of marriage because you have two people coming from two very different places. But because you have an opposite there, that means there's a high level of possibility in the marriage. God can do some great work in that marriage because you are opposite. Remember, marriage is all about sanctification. It's all about growing you. It's not about just being happy. Happy can be a byproduct, but it's about growth. It's about sanctification. And so really listening to each other, understanding where each other's coming from, seek to understand her before being understood, and really working on it. There is great potential in your marriage because you are different. So you can look at things from a different perspective. So it's a beautiful thing that God has done. It's just going to take a lot of work, a lot of compromise, a lot of listening. And it's not simple, but God can do some great things because you are different.
Yeah, and I think, Dusty, really talking to one another about this, that you know, hey, you see life differently from the way I do because you're more black and white and your background is more on the truth side or the law side, perhaps. And then mine was a lot more gracious, a lot more, my parents were much more permissive. So I wasn't raised in that solid structure of these are the boundaries. And so you can learn from each other and just helping one another, cutting each other some slack. So when she responds to you that seems more harsh, just know where she's coming from. And when you respond in the way that seems to her like that's more licensed, more permissive, that she knows where you're coming from and that you guys can just kind of talk things out. Maybe have a code word like, okay, it's too much one way or the other. We're going to extremes here. We need to get back in the middle with grace and truth, both solid.
I'm glad you have awareness, because that expectation that you're going to see things the same way is gone. So now the reality is you see things differently. So I'm glad you have an awareness. So keeping that awareness in mind as you do life together.
Right. It's kind of funny, too. So we were talking about this. Jonah is a guy in Scripture that sinned greatly. I mean, when God tells you go this way, go east, young man, and you go west right. As far west. I mean, he's going to Tarshish, as far away from Nineveh as you can possibly go. Well, as you know the story, everybody knows the story, a great storm. You can't run from God. You can run, but you can't hide. And so what are we going to do with this storm? Throw me overboard. And the sailors didn't want to do that. But that's the only way that you can be saved. And here's a guy that is supposed to be a blessing to the pagans, and he's a curse to the pagans. They're getting ready to be, to sink because of Jonah's disobedience. They throw him in. He gets swallowed by a great fish. And what does Jonah need in the belly of the fish? He needs God's mercy. Mm-hmm. He needs God's grace. He needs God's forgiveness. And what he was shown, he has none of that for the Ninevites. Mm. And he can't make the connection between, God, I want you to be merciful and gracious and forgiving and compassionate to me, but I want you to fry them.
Right.
And that's what we need to constantly, Chris, I think, to remind ourselves is I need to treat people the way I want God to treat me. And so, mom, dad, you have a son, a daughter that has done something terrible. Chris, as our kids get older, the infractions get greater and greater. How do we deal? So I'll throw this at you. You have a teenage son or daughter, and they're starting to get into alcohol and drugs. How does grace and truth handle that?
Yeah, it's tough. I think of the movie Fireproof, where he has that, there's that powerful scene, the cross is behind the Kirk Cameron character, and his father says to him, "You can't give what you don't have." So you need from the Lord, the grace from the Lord, then to give to others. And man, as your kids get older, it gets harder. You know, I think I have a teen and then I have young ones, and it gets harder when they get older. So again, each situation you take and you think about, how can we balance this with grace and truth, whether it be, you know, drinking alcohol or whatever issue you're facing with your child, with your older child. How can we face this situation with grace and truth? How can we walk that line where Jesus would walk, where there's going to be discipline, there's going to be some boundaries, there's going to be some rules, but then there's also going to be some tenderness, there's going to be some love and some grace, knowing that I always think about the fact that I was that age and I did stupid things. And right. So I always try to remind myself, I'm in my 40s now, but I did some stupid things when I was that age.
Well, the scripture tells us foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So mm-hmm. your kids are going to do some foolish things. They're going to break furniture playing football in the den or whatever. You know, it's just, that's what kids just do that.
Mom always said, don't play ball in the house.
Right. And it's not necessarily they're being just totally rebellious and in your face. It's just they're being kids.
Right.
And so, yeah, are there consequences? I know in my family, so I'm the fifth of six kids. Mm-hmm. And my dad, he'd come home from work and something was broken. I mean, it's just like we were just hard on whatever, you know. I remember growing up as a kid, there was a marble dent in the TV screen. It's like, what was that from? It's one of the kids threw a marble or shot some kind of gun, and shot some hard pellet or something. Anyway, it's always something that was broken, and you just got to figure, that's kids being kids,
right?
And you're going to deal with that. I think one of the things about parenting with grace and having a home built on grace is you start early, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain with that build it. And you start early saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to build our house on the word of God. And when your kids come into the home, when they're born into the home, they know from the get-go, this is a home where we're going to honor Jesus. And so then you can direct every infraction, every sin, every transgression, you can direct it back to the Lord and say, now, that doesn't honor the Lord, and our home is dedicated to honor God. And so as they get older and they say, hey, I want to drink, I want to hang out with rebels, get involved in sexual immorality, you can just keep bringing that back to the scripture. That's for young mom and dad, young parents. It's harder when you start and your kids are 15.
Right.
Because, man, you got to start discipline at 2, not at 12.
Yeah, I mean, what I hear you saying is basically pick your battles.
Right.
You're going to pick what's important. So maybe, that little dent in the TV isn't as important. But you're going to have your core values. Your family is going to have, these are the things that are not, they're not going to change. You know,
right.
This is
non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable.
Right.
On Sundays, we are going to church.
Right.
God is going to be in the center of this house. There's some certain core values that are going to lead our family, and God is number one.
Right. And I love what Tim Kimmel says in his book, Grace-Based Parenting. He said, one of the things that's freeing for parents is, listen, you do your best by God's grace, and if your kids don't turn out, don't beat yourself up. He said, if the story of the prodigal son, the father didn't beat himself up because the son obviously made a terrible decision. He wasn't saying, oh, it's my fault, I did a terrible job as a father. I mean, God has a lot of wayward children. And, God is not at fault. And God doesn't, God cares, obviously, and he leaves the 99 sheep to go after the one. But God doesn't beat himself up saying, I'm so horrible, I'm so terrible, let me pull out the whip and beat myself some more. Chris, I know in your counseling, you've probably dealt with a lot of people that really struggle with, I'm such a terrible parent, look how my child turned out. Why is that not a good strategy for health and
success? Yeah, it seems like that is a strategy of the evil one to just parenting guilt, especially moms. Moms have a lot of guilt, you know, especially they look at Facebook and they see what other moms are doing and they see other people's perfect life, you know, and so they start to feel guilt that they're not doing enough, they're not being enough. And so as we receive God's grace, maybe whoever is listening today, give that grace to yourself. Receive that grace that God has for you and surrender your children. They really honestly don't belong to us anyway. They belong to the Lord. I know that's simple to say, but it's true. They belong to the Lord. They're on loan to us. And they have their race to run. We have our race to run. We have our own walk with God, and we've made our own mistakes. They have to make their own mistakes. They have their own race to run with God. So we take this, oftentimes as parents, we take this responsibility, like how they turn out is on us, and it's an indication of us. And in some ways, that's true. But in other ways, I mean, they're just learning. They're going right through their own journey themselves. And so they have to run their race. They have to make their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. And a lot of times we're there to just pick them up and maybe pointing them back in the right direction.
Right.
And sending them back out there.
Well, Samuel was the prophet in Israel in the Old Testament. Stories begins in 1 Samuel with his mother, Hannah. But he walked with God. He was close with God. The Lord spoke to him as he spoke to the people. He didn't have good sons. You know, when Samuel got older, they said, hey, we need a king because your sons are worthless. That's what they said to Samuel. You have worthless sons. They don't walk in your ways. And so I remember thinking to myself, and I heard James Dobson talk about this. He said, hey, there are no guarantees in parenting.
Right.
He said, if Samuel's kids didn't turn out well,
right,
don't think just because you do things right, that's going to be ironclad that your kids are going to turn out right. Your kids have to trust Christ just like you had to trust Christ.
I mean, did Jesus do something wrong because Judas turned on him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody has their own choice and their own accountability to God. And I'm really careful in the counseling, telling people, or just counseling or ministry in general, to say, oh, that person was raised well. That person was raised really well. Because sometimes I think we take too much credit as parents in how our children are turning out. They really belong to God. They have their own you know, walk with God.
Right. I was talking to a friend yesterday about the Duggars, and you know, that's been just a tragic situation, mm-hmm, with the oldest boy now in prison for child pornography and that kind of thing. And then people dismiss his parents. You know, it's a terrible family or whatever. It's not. It's one boy that's not unlike any other kid. He can go off the rails. He can get tripped up in sin. And mom and dad are heartbroken over that. But, you know, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. I mean, the old saying there, but for the grace of God go I. No one is immune from really difficult things hitting their family. And you can do everything right by God's grace and still have a son or a daughter break your heart.
Yeah, and don't give up. I mean, it doesn't matter how old your children are. They might be adult children out of the home. You're still their parent. You're still their dad. You're still their mom. It looks different. The relationship looks different. But don't give up on them. You know, they still need you. And so sometimes parents think that they've messed up so much that they're out of the game, but you're not.
You're not. And especially dads, you may have a terrible relationship with your son or daughter, but if you will humble yourself and seek their forgiveness and really work to restore that relationship, you may be amazed at how God brings your child around. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, Romans 12:18. And we need to do all things possible to make sure that things are right on our side of the street. Can't control their side, but on our side of the street. Well, we thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today, as Dr. Chris Schroeder and I have talked about grace and truth and walking on the narrow road with Jesus, in the light with Jesus, with balance between grace and truth. We'll be with you again tomorrow as we talk to the president of Promise Keepers. You don't want to miss it. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.